The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
You're listening to Sci-Fi Wire from the Con, recorded live from the Sci-Fi Wire stage at New York Comic Con 2019.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to New York Comic Con 2019. Woo! Here with Sci-Fi Wire, I'm Andre, and I think if there's one lesson that we have all learned in life, it is to be the very best, like no one ever was, right?
Right.
And who better to do that with than the voice of Ash Ketchum herself, Veronica Taylor. Woo! And we also have our daughter, Rhea Taylor, as well. Voice Ascension. Thank you both for being here. Really do appreciate
it. It's so nice to see you again.
It's nice to see you
And it's nice to be in New York. I would have to say New York Comic Con is the best because of all of you who come here every year. My gosh. Way to go. Yeah.
We were talking backstage. You were saying that, Rhea, you were here like, as a kid, like when you were much younger,
and
you both have been like seeing the New York Comic Con experience grow and evolve over time. So what has that been like?
All these years.
I mean, I started going to conventions with my mom when I was four.
Right.
But the first one I went to was actually in New Zealand. But we've come to New York forever.
Yeah.
Like, it's crazy.
I've seen people here that I saw 17 years ago before it was New York Comic Con.
Yeah.
Back when it was Big Apple, and then along the way. It's been amazing to see this show grow, and no matter what, the people are the same. Like, there's nothing like a show in New York, that's for sure.
But also, like, I think we always expect New York Comic Con to be so big, but even today, like, it was so surprising. We were driving in, like, what? Look at all the crowds.
So
like, there's so many people.
Yeah.
So it just is, I think it never ceases to amaze us, like, how many people actually come.
Right.
Which is so exciting, isn't it? So great.
And it's cool to see a family going to the con together. We have so many con families out here.
Yeah,
so
that's
really
right.
Nice.
Weird
family.
Kids Day. So,
yeah, so
you know.
I brought my kid.
Right.
So, yes. So, obviously, another thing that has been going on for several years,
yes.
20 years,
yes.
In fact, is Pokemon.
That's right.
I'm curious of, like, your experience with it because, you know, Pokemon, we had the games and the anime was out, but, like, bringing it to America, bringing the cartoon series in America,
right.
And you provide the voice, what was it like to do it at that time? Like, we look back now, and it's like, oh, Pokemon's this big thing. But, like, when you started doing the show, it was still like, that's Pokemon, you know?
Well, way back in 1998, you know, when you really think about it, in 1998, no one was looking things up on the internet. There wasn't really a way to find out a lot about something in advance of auditioning for it. I did know that Pokemon had caused seizures, and I still auditioned for it. I don't know. Ask me about that another time. But we just launched into this. It was a job that I was cast in, and it was an amazing show, amazing energy to it. But we didn't know if anyone was watching it. We had no idea. And then the first movie came, and then we were like, yeah, maybe some people are watching this. But it was a wonderful job to have, not knowing if it would ever go on, you know?
Yeah.
And then it has.
Yeah, it did.
Yeah. I was on the first 8 years of the show, and they were really incredibly wonderful. And now I still get to talk about it all the time with people and kind of relive your memories and my memories as well.
What do you think, from a fan's perspective, is the reason why they connect to Ash so much, your character? And was that sort of an inspiration as you continued with the show?
I think it's more inspirational to me now as I realize how much we all learned from the show and have kind of taken to heart.
Yeah.
I think Ash especially, he represents all of us. And as we watch the show, we can jump into his sneakers, essentially, and go on the journey with him. I think the stories are fantastic. There's so much emotion. And that we can all relate somehow. When you really think about it, we've learned so much, like how to let go, how to go after your goal, how to support your friends, how to be friends, how to just get along with people. I think that's something we all relate to. And it's just a cartoon, but it's a bit deeper than that.
Nice.
Yeah.
Are you able to keep up? Because they keep adding all these Pokemon. Are you able to?
There's so many now. It's insane.
I know.
Yeah.
I honestly don't keep up, but I do keep in touch with the show because people tell me who their favorite Pokemon is.
Yeah.
And then I find out who that is.
definitely find out from everyone here. I think neither of us really know that much about the show anyway. Like, it was the only show I was allowed to watch in the mornings before going to school.
I was very strict.
Yeah, you know, parenting at its finest. Yeah. But, so, like, we kind of watched the show, but then now, like, people just come up and they're talking to us about Pokemon and different scenes and things. So, like, definitely, I think both of us have grown in knowledge through coming to conventions.
Other people,
for sure.
Yeah. Is there any particular moments that you just remember when recording the show that just, like, stick out to you? Like, just such a good time or just a good, like, oh, it was cool to do that part.
Well, Ash was, it's a great acting role. Because there's so many highs and lows in it. The first episode is one that I love. Look at all the emotion that was packed into that one thing.
Right.
Plus, I am one to get up late, so I could really relate to him in the Butterfree episode. That letting go when Ash and Brock and Misty parted ways. Spoilers if you haven't gotten that far. But, you know, the times that were the most real, when Ash came home to his mom, there was always some sweet interactions between them that was I just really loved the real parts of it, where in the first movie when Ash is saving Pikachu, you know, like, that's incredible, and that's a movie for children. These are things that I really, really hold on to.
So you mentioned you like the moments where Ash went home to see his mom. Also voiced by you.
Right.
So how is it like being mother and son?
Pretty great. I mean, as a mother, I wouldn't let my daughter go when she was 10 on her own journey. I just take her with me, I guess.
She does remind me, though, to, you know, change my underwear and do laundry. So there are some similarities.
But it was nice to have scenes with myself, because then I could hear the lines and actually talk and listen, which is what acting really is. So that was a treat for that.
That's really cool. Yeah, it was always cool to see the mom. And then I'm still questioning mom's relationship with Mr. Mime. I know that they were like friends.
Hey, you know, who doesn't want someone to do the dishes, help with cooking, and not talk back? I mean, we could all use a Mr. Mime, I think, right?
It's just true.
Well, now I question it.
We may have to settle for a crock pot, though.
That's right. That's we like have a crock pot. She has a Mr. Mime.
Crock pot. Which will, that will be in the next Pokemon. Crock pot.
That's right.
Evolves
Hey, no, that was fighting foodons.
Yeah, there we go. There it is. So, yeah. But that's actually, I'm curious about, because as a voice actor, you know, obviously Pokemon was something that you had to dub versus some other animation where it's made up after you do the voice. Like, as a voice actor, what is the challenge in the different types there?
So when you're dubbing something, you're fitting the lip flap.
Yeah.
And when you are doing prelay, you get to kind of go wherever with it, and they draw to you later, which is quite a luxury.
Yeah.
Both of them have their own challenges, and both are equally wonderful. I do love the challenge of trying to make something fit, even though the flap is not working, you know, so you're constantly...
Yeah.
But there is something great in strict parameters and then bringing it to life. When you have prelay, it's good because it's like you're in a radio play.
Yeah.
You can just act it through, and then we can try it a different way. Often you're in the booth with people. When you're dubbing, you're not. You're alone. In the case of when my daughter played Centric, for instance, I held her up to the mic. So we were in the booth together, rarely does that happen.
When I was little, I would come and sit in the booth with my mom when she was recording. And so we would be doing things, but then I'd have to be, like, really quiet because I'm in the booth. So I'd be, like, doing homework or coloring and then have to be, like, quiet while she said her lines. And then we'd be fine and, like, talking again. So, like, that is a group effort, but not.
But
like,
when prelay, you couldn't do that because we're all working together continuously.
Yeah.
In dubbing, you have a little break in between while they set up the next take. Yeah.
I would say, though, too, for prelay, you get a lot more opportunities for, like, improv, which is definitely another way of kind of utilizing your skill. But when you're dubbing something, it really does depend on the writers, and having really good writers makes it super easy to dub in that sense, because you don't feel like, oh, I wish this scene had more XYZ or stuff. So it just depends.
Nice.
Right.
Now, as much as I love Pokemon, I gotta bring this up because I'm a huge Ninja Turtles fan.
Right.
And you were April O'Neil in the 2003 Ninja Turtles series.
That's right. Series. And we did all work together in the booth, which was amazing with that incredible cast. It was really super.
Yeah, it's really cool. It's a little bit
I love that. The writing on that show was great. The animation was amazing.
Yeah,
that was a real treat. Yeah. And gosh, what a legendary show.
And you brought like a different style to April O'Neil than what we saw from the 80s series. Right. It's kind of like closer to the comic book form in a little
That's
bit.
That's what I think too. Yeah. And Sue Blue directed that from LA while we were all in New York. So, oh my gosh, she's a legend as well.
Nice.
Yeah, pretty cool. Well,
we want to play a little bit of game with you guys, if it's
okay.
All right. We're
going
to play a little roll for question. We got a giant die here.
I did not expect this. Okay.
It's very simple. You're just going to roll the die, and then whenever it lands on, I have a bunch of different questions here, and you just answer the question. Yeah.
Okay. Oh, my gosh. Give it a roll. Wisely.
Five?
Five. We got a five. Okay. This sounds like this might happen in a Pokemon episode. A vicious troll has denied you a much-needed bridge crossing access unless you answer this question. What's the weirdest object someone has asked you to autograph?
Oh. I was going to answer as Ash, but this would be inappropriate.
Yeah.
Someone actually... Cosplay is king at shows, and someone came as a kind of a Ash kind of character, and she had a brassiere made of paper mache Pokeballs that she had made. And she wanted me to sign it while she was wearing it. And I think that was a little uncomfortable for both of us. Jolly, but a little like, maybe we should have thought this through beforehand. So that's probably the weirdest and the most amazing.
Yeah. It doesn't seem like an Ash thing.
No. Well, it was. She was kind of Ash-y.
Yeah, yeah.
She was Pokemon inspired.
Oh, no, no. No, the Ash one might get a little nervous about that.
That's right.
Brock, on the other hand.
Brock would have been nervous, too, I think.
Yeah.
He may like girls, but he doesn't know what to do with
them. Yeah, right.
I mean,
exactly.
Like, he's only a kid, after all.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Next question.
Yeah.
You get to roll.
Move on. Let's move on without. All right, good.
15. This is, oh my gosh,
exciting.
I'm sweating.
All right, success. You get to meet a comic convention hero. So if you are going to wait in line for someone's panel, who would it be? Who would you wait in line for?
I think I would have waited in line for Stan Lee, 110%.
Yes.
Yeah.
I miss him so much.
Me too, definitely.
I miss him. I miss his creativity and, gosh, his spirit. Definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely.
So it was so amazing.
But if not, Stan.
I would wait for Princess Bride.
Yes.
Princess Bride. Yeah. The whole cast, I would for sure go see a panel / get an autograph from them.
We watch that movie every year.
Every year.
At home.
Awesome.
I love Princess Bride.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Very cool. Well, thank you both so much.
Is that it already?
Yeah, that's it.
I just
want to
say, New York Comic Con, I choose you.
Oh.
You guys are the best. You're
That's
the best,
so awesome.
Too.
Oh, you
Thank
are
you.
A wonderful one. Thank you so much once again to Veronica Taylor and Raina Taylor.
Thank you.
We'll see you guys out there.
And keep watching those episodes of Pokemon. They are always somewhere, so you all make sure you keep watching
definitely.
Them. So thank you all so
Bye,
much
guys.
For continuing the coverage here at New York Comic Con with Sci-Fi Wires. And stay tuned for more coverage here at New York Comic Con with Sci-Fi Wire. Thank you, guys.